Welcome to Innovate 608, the podcast that shines a light on Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem. I'm Scott Mosley, Executive Director of Starting Block, Madison's startup hub. In this episode, my co-host Kathleen Gallagher talks with Anhai Doan of the UW-Madison Computer Science Department and the Chief Scientist at Walmart Labs. Innovate 608 is made possible by the generous support of the American Family Institute for Corporate and Social Impact and our media partner, the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, here's Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Gallagher, Executive Director of Five Lakes Institute, host of the Midwest Moxie podcast that features the region's successful founders, and a co-host of Innovate 608. Anhai Doan grew up in a hut in central Vietnam with no electricity. When he left at the age of 17 to continue his studies in Hungary, he'd never seen a computer. Today, Anhai is a university professor at the cutting edge of a field that is shaping nearly every aspect of our lives. He has used his expertise in databases and artificial intelligence to help big companies build systems and to found startups of his own. He has also been a key player in growing and setting the strategy for the UW-Madison computer science effort, and a strong advocate of finding ways to ensure that the entire state benefits from the school's top-ranked data science program. We're here today with Anhai, a computer science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Anhai is co-chairing the committee that's developing the five-year strategic plan for computer science at the university. Anhai, welcome to Innovate 608.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with your own experience. Your father was a doctor and your mother was a nurse, but you grew up at times with no food. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually grew up, you know, in the early 1970s, and my earliest memory was actually about the American War, which is called the Vietnam War here. I still remember that I was in a shelter with my mom, and then, you know, American bomb exploding in the distance. And now I'm here, totally Americanized. Isn't that funny? So in the early 80s, it was a very hard time in Vietnam. You know, the country was decimated after the war, and the government was kind of incompetent. There was no business activities. And so everyone was kind of starving. I was in a boarding high school 50 miles away from my family, and I didn't have any breakfast. I did have lunch and I did have dinner, but occasionally I did not have enough dinner. It was a very hard
time. Was that because the boarding high school only offered one meal a day?
They did offer lunch and dinner, but you know, there was not enough food to go around. So the portions were pretty small. And then basically there was not enough for, you know, growing boys at the, you know, 15 and 16 years
old. Wow. You were at the boarding high school because you were good at math. You kept proving yourself academically, right?
Yes, that was a boarding school for talented students in Vietnam.
So you were lucky enough to have a ticket because you perform well academically. You got the opportunity to go to college in Hungary. Now, you spoke Vietnamese. How did you get through the course in Hungary?
Yeah, so I actually had to study Hungarian for a year in Vietnam, in Hanoi, Vietnam. And then after that, I went to Hungary and I studied Hungarian for another year. And then I was ready to go to college in Hungary and, you know, no problem.
So you studied math or computer science in Hungary?
So I was assigned to study math, and there's something interesting about that, because I did not want to study math, because the reasoning is that if I were to go back to Vietnam, then with a math degree, I would have been starving. So I tried to switch to another field, and the only field I could switch to is computer science. So that's what I switched to, and I guess that was a lucky stroke.
No kidding. And so you started studying computer science. But you graduated in computer science. How did you get to the United States?
Yeah, that's another interesting story, because at the time, I did not want to go back to Vietnam. I did not know what to do with a computer science degree there, but I did not want to stay in Hungary. So going to the US seemed to be pretty interesting, but there was no diplomatic relationship between Vietnam and the US at the time. So I knew of no one who went from, you know, Hungary to the US to study. So I tried and I applied to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee graduate program, and they accepted me. But when I went to apply for a visa at the US embassy in Hungary, they immediately rejected me because, you know, there was no diplomatic relationship. So after a lot of trouble asking for help, the US embassy in Thailand, which were familiar with Vietnamese students, gave me a visa. And that's how I landed in Milwaukee in 1993.
And why did you choose University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee? How did you hear about it, or how did that happen?
Well, so it turns out that there was a professor over there who actually, you know, visited Vietnam a couple of times and were familiar with Vietnamese students. And so I was recommended to that professor, and I emailed him, and luckily he, you know, gave me a scholarship. And so that's how I ended up in Milwaukee.
So I don't want to leave the hungry part of this story until we talk about how enterprising you were. When you got there, you had some side businesses so you could send money back to Vietnam, right?
That's exactly right. You know, at the time, the Vietnamese government sent about 500 high school students every year to Eastern European communist countries. And pretty much each student had a mission of doing business, making money, and sending the money back to Vietnam to help the family. And so that's exactly what I did. I was buying and selling clothes and cigarettes and perfumes and stuff like that. Pretty much the only thing I learned during that time was English.
You know, Anhai, you're so establishment now. You're this big university professor, but there you were. Street businesses, huh?
It has been interesting, yes.
So when you switched from math to computer science, what made you, you continued with computer science at UWM. What made you so interested in computer science?
Well, I just feel like it is the job of the future, right? I mean, even around that time, I already got an inkling that, you know, computing just going to become more and more important. And so to me, that is something not only that's important in the future, but it's also intellectually very stimulating to study.
And why so important?
Well, because as you can see, the world is moving in that direction, right? If you look at, you know, the 19th century, then that was characterized by the Industrial Revolution. And the 20th century was, you know, the Information Revolution. And it looks like the 21st century is going to be the computing revolution, right? Look at any single one of us. We wake up with a computer, which is your phone, the smartphone, and then we go to bed with a computer. And in between, we use computing technology all the time. Computing is eating the world. No question about that.
Not just software, the whole thing, right, is eating the world.
Thing. Yes, yes.
So, you know, one of the themes here is that you kept performing well academically, which kept creating more opportunities for you. You got your PhD at University of Washington, and you won a top prize in the field for your dissertation, which was about applying machine learning to combine data sets. Tell us about that, how you came up with that, and what made you so interested in that topic.
Yes, at the time, that was like 24 years ago, I think machine learning was still very new, right? So the idea of applying machine learning to solve a problem, which I'm going to talk about perhaps a little bit later today, which is a major problem in data science, it is clearly very interesting. And so I jumped at the opportunity to study that. And the award that I got is basically, it's called the ACM Doctoral Dissertation Award. It is the highest award in the field of computing, awarded to one dissertation per year globally. And they acknowledge that, you know, the idea of applying machine learning to that is clearly very interesting and promising.
So that topic of your dissertation, applying machine learning to combine data sets, led you to get a job at your first startup. And then that second startup was acquired by Walmart, which led you to become chief scientist at Walmart. Tell us about that experience.
Yes. So to be clear, the first and the second startup were not founded by me, but I joined them as a key player. And the second startup I joined as a chief scientist. And then that startup was acquired by Walmart back in 2011, because at the time, Walmart was very worried about competing with Amazon. It could literally see that, you know, brick and mortar alone is not going to be enough. A lot of commerce is going to happen online, and it needs to catch up with Amazon. So it acquired us, and we did a lot of data integration, data cleaning, which is known today as basically doing data science in order to help Walmart catch up with Amazon. So they created a research and development lab, and I was a chief scientist, and I ran it for 3 years before returning to UW Madison.
So you took a sabbatical, like you say in academia, to be the chief scientist at Walmart Labs.
It was an unpaid leave. Sabbatical is when I am going away and they are still paying me. This is more like they don't pay at all. You know, I'm just away. Yeah.
Oh, what a great experience, though, to be at Walmart when it was growing and competing in this new area. And you were really in the thick of it, right?
Yes, that's definitely true. I mean, it was a pretty exciting at the time. Yeah.
So you were, just to back up a little, your first academic job was at University of Illinois. Then you came to UW-Madison, to Wisconsin. You've continued with this startup theme. A few years ago, you started another company called Green Bay Technologies. Tell us about Green Bay Technologies.
Yes. So before that, I just want to back up a little bit, that it may have sounded like I always want to do startup, but that is actually not true. I was just basically developing technologies, and then the technology get attention, and that's how I became involved. So back in 2019, my student and I developed a new technology to match entities across data sets. So the idea is that if you do data science, then very typically you would have multiple data sets, and you want to combine them into a single clean unified data set. And then you're going to apply machine learning to analyze and extract actionable insight, right? When you combine this data set, very often they will talk about the same entity, but in different ways. For example, UW-Madison versus University of Wisconsin-Madison. How do you know that these two are the same? You need to apply machine learning technology to discover that they are the same. And the startup that we did exactly that, except that we can do it on a very large scale. We can manage, you know, billions of records. And so that startup got a lot of attention, and we ended up with multiple offers. And in the end, we sold it to Informatica, which is a big Silicon Valley company working in this area.
At that point, you were a little tired of startups, and you moved on to think about, a lot of grand visions for how computing can help the world, and particularly Wisconsin. We're talking with Anhai Doan, a computer science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and an expert in data science and artificial intelligence. We've been talking about how Anhai got to the U.S. and got into computer science and to the upper echelons of his field. Now we're going to talk about the importance of UW-Madison's computer science school to the state and to the world, really. Anhai, you've been quite involved in the growth of the computer science effort at UW-Madison. Tell us about that.
Yes, Kathleen. So I think the whole thing started around 10 years ago. I think that is when multiple colleagues and I, we realized a couple of things. So number one is that computing is eating the world. There's no question that it is going to change everything, right? And number two is that for that revolution, UW-Madison cannot afford to be behind. Because even if we end up in the second place, we're going to get very little compared to people who end up in the first place. So we need to lead that computing revolution. We cannot afford to be left behind. And because of that, that led to number three, which is that we try very hard to convince UW Madison that computing is critical and that UW Madison must lead, and the benefit of that need to extend to the entire state. And so we just essentially hammered those three points in during the last 10 years. And we have gone a long way since then.
Well, certainly when you started, UW-Madison was the computer science department was in the School of Letters and Science, and it was a department, and you actually kept getting more and more students. It's become the most popular major on campus, but you weren't growing commensurately. So one of the big things that happened through the efforts of a lot of people, including you, was that a new school was formed. Can you talk about that?
Yes, certainly. So I want to mention something that is interesting, which is that a lot of students in Michigan and in Illinois, they all want to get into computer science. But what they do there is they put a cap on it. They only admit so many students. Now, at Wisconsin, we took a very different approach. We believe in the Wisconsin idea. We believe in the fact that, you know, computing knowledge need to be extended to every single Wisconsinite if they want that. And because of that, we did not put a cap on how many students wanting to take computer science. And that you can see that in our number. The number grew.
That became the bane of some of the professors' existence, I think, right?
Yes, but it's not about us, right? It is about the university, and it's about Wisconsin. We should be very happy that there's so much interest in this field. And so, yeah, the school was created in a way to help address that issue.
And so the school is called the School of Computer Data and Information Science, and it was the combination of the computer science department, the statistics department, and the iSchool, or the library science school. And yes, You're now all one big school. You were very involved in the vision for the school. You wrote a lot of the, you were on the committee that put it together. You wrote a lot of the document. What is, I mean, you're still only what, a couple of years old. What's the vision for this school? Why did you need a school, and what can it do?
Well, so if you look before the school, right, then computer science was just one of the perhaps 37 departments inside the College of Letters and Science, one of the 37. And there was a dean managing us, but the dean was also managing 10 other departments. So clearly we did not get enough attention. Now, if you think computing is important, then clearly you need to do something. And that is how the school was created, right? We now have a dedicated director, a dedicated associate dean, someone who wake up thinking about computing and going to bed thinking about computing. So in a way, creating the school is moving computing at UW into a more visible place, raising the profile, right? And if you think computing is central to everything at UW Madison, then clearly we need to keep moving it into a more central place at UW Madison. And that's what we are doing.
Well, let's talk about that a little, because I guess I didn't realize until this all started happening why the geography department needs computing or the music department. I mean, part of this vision is about why the whole university needs to interact with you guys, right?
Yes. So that is, in a way, is a simple, like everything else in the world today, right? If you look at, let's say, electric car or just any car out there, the modern car today, right? The modern car today is technically just software on wheel, right? It has so much software in there, and software update is being delivered via air, right?
And so software, much software on wheels. I like that. That's good.
Literally, right? And and so much data is being collected about, you know, the car to enable self-driving and things like that, right? So everything is becoming computing-centric and data-centric. And it's the same for pretty much every domain science at UW-Madison. Department of Geography, Department of Limnology, even Department of Archaeology, you know, is you know, needing computing and data.
So give me an example of why the Department of Geography might need to interact with you guys.
So an example of that is, I don't know whether this is exactly inside dependent of geology, but it's a very interesting example. They are trying to save the Amazon forest. And the way that they save it is that they try to prevent people in Brazil from cutting down the trees in order to sort of like create the grassland for cows to graze, right? And what happened there is that, you know, the government promised that they're not going to buy cows from those places, right? The farm that actually cut down the trees. And they can see which farm, which ranch actually cut down the tree via satellite pictures. But what happened is that those farms hide the identity of the transaction. They would actually be selling the cows to a neighboring farm. And that neighboring farm would be selling the cow to the slaughterhouse. And so by the time it gets to the slaughterhouse, the lineage of the cow is totally lost. You don't know where the cow is coming from. And so with our data matching technology, we actually could trace the lineage of the cow all the way back to the farm that cut down the tree. And that helped the slaughterhouse not buy cow from those places. So this is actually a real project. It you know, received a lot of funding, and we have been working on that together with colleagues in other departments and with the Brazilian government. That is just one example.
Well, and that kind of answered my next question, which is how can you help the world outside the university? And we keep talking about data, and I just want to make the point, data science has always been the strength of the computer science effort at Madison. So that's what you're really building on in a lot of ways, right?
Yes. Data is the new oil.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Data is the new oil. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. But I'm not saying that. The Economist magazine said that, and other folks said that. And that's so true. If you go back to the example of the modern car, right? The modern car collects so much data, and then it uses the data to make self-driving much better. So there you go.
I have to admit, though, Anhai, when I'm driving my modern car, I don't know what half those signals mean.
we human are not yet catching up. Yeah,
I know. Can you fix that for me? I want to say the formation of this school, and now you're just completing raising money for a new building. You guys moved up in the rankings. You had dropped to 18th. You've now moved back up to 11th. So it seems like you're on a good trajectory, which leads us to you're co-chairing the committee that's planning the strategy for computer science at UW-Madison for the next 5 years. Tell us how you're approaching that. What needs to happen for the university and for the state? Because they're tied together, right?
Yes. So again, I mean, the key tenets that we are following here is that we believe the university and the state need to lead the computing revolution. We cannot afford to be left behind, right? And so for that, we believe, first of all, we need to grow. We need to grow the department much bigger because we don't have enough people in the school of computer and data, computer, and information sciences in order to cover all the topics that we need to cover. We need to get resources to grow, and we need to manage the growth very well. We need to have a strategic vision, and we need to also give back to the university and the state. So those are the key tenets driving my work on this committee. And I strongly believe that, you know, everyone in Wisconsin should care about the computer science at UW-Madison for a very simple reason, which is jobs. If you want good jobs in Madison 10, 15 years from now, then you should care about computer science because a lot of those jobs will be software-driven, computing-centric, and data-centric.
That's a powerful statement. And thanks for all your work on it. You've adopted Wisconsin as your home state, and it's wonderful to see how much you care about the state.
Thank you, and thank you, Wisconsin, for adopting me.
Well, be interested in checking back to see how that strategic plan is working.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Starting Blocks Innovate 608. You can hear more episodes about Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem on the Starting Block website at startingblockmadison.org or on your favorite podcast platform.